This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I'm very pleased to welcome Robert Berger, CBS News Jerusalem, reporting of the conflict these last days between Gaza, Hamas of Gaza, and the Israeli Air Forces and IDF in general. This conflict is raging on, so I turn to Robert for a compare and contrast, because he has mentioned in his reporting on television and on radio that the conflict that preceded this, 2014, rockets out of Gaza, lasted for 50 days. This contest is well short of that, but the violence is several magnitudes more. I was in Jerusalem in 2014, visited Gaza, the rim of Gaza. It was possible to drive around. There were no air warnings at night in Jerusalem, and there was a sense that the conflict would carry on entirely in Gaza. This looks to be a conflict that's carrying on throughout Israel. So, Robert, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. How do you see the difference between 2014 and now? It's the same contest, Hamas versus Israel. Has it changed profoundly in your estimation? Good day to you.
Yes, it seems like it's all being crammed into a shorter time. The other one, the war in 2014, just went on and on for 50 days. And Israel, I think, learned a lot of lessons. Its military has improved. Its intelligence has improved. Its technology has improved. And no one on either side wants to have a war at all, maybe, but you don't want to have a war for 50 days in any event, just to go on and on. So the Israelis, I think, drew lessons from that last war that just couldn't finish, and they're cramming it all in. They started hot, and they're continuing hot, meaning massive airstrikes, and not waiting until the end to maybe target Hamas leaders or their homes or their high rises. It all has already happened in the course of this first week. So that's basically it. Israel's launched well over 1,000 airstrikes, probably around 1,500. And at the same time, the Palestinians are concentrating their rockets, too. They've improved their capabilities. 3,000 or more have already been fired at Israel. So it's all being crammed into a short time because, as I said, nobody wants this to go on for 50 days. I think the Israelis realize they have a diplomatic window of a few more days, and they want to try and strike as hard as they can in a more limited scope and time.
Looking ahead, Robert, are there winners here, and who is gaining from this conflict? Clearly not the people of Israel, the people of Gaza. Do you see anyone on the Hamas side gaining from this?
Well, of course, both sides are going to declare victory whenever this ends. So let's look at how they'll declare victory. The Israelis really are dealing a severe military blow to Hamas, to their military assets, their offices, the places they operate from, their soldiers or fighters. We really don't know the numbers, but I think many, many on the other side in Gaza have been killed. Let me just mention one thing in perspective. So Hamas has a huge underground tunnel network known as the Metro, which according to the Israeli military, 80% of that has been destroyed in massive airstrikes in a span of just 40 minutes. That also gives you an idea of the intensity. So they are dealing a severe blow to Hamas military infrastructure, fighters, commanders, also the places where they live. These commanders aren't really going to have any place to go home to. On the other side, Hamas can claim victory. Why? They've put more than a million people in Israel in the line of fire. Southern Israel is paralyzed. Tel Aviv is not exactly paralyzed, but the nightlife there, it's a city known for its nightlife. Everything has been closed. So they can declare victory on that. They can say they took up the mantle of Jerusalem. It started with riots at the Al-Aqsa Mosque or Temple Mount in Jerusalem. They can say now Hamas is the leader of the Palestinian cause and, you know, fighting for the rights of Jerusalem. And they've even managed to bring unrest in Israeli cities between Jews and Arabs. So they can claim victory by creating all that kind of havoc in and around Israel.
The losers here, a larger sphere than just the immediate conflict zone. The Abraham Accords, which were an achievement Israel is very proud of, have they been damaged by this, to your estimation, Robert?
I think maybe in the short term, it's certainly very uncomfortable for the countries that didn't make peace with Israel under the Abraham Accords last year. We're talking about Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, Morocco, Sudan. It's uncomfortable because of the Arab street. When you look at the pictures of the mass destruction in Gaza, when the Arab street looks at that, that stirs up anger against Israel. I think the leaders of those countries, though, realize that they have certain things to gain by making peace with Israel. Right now, they are coming out with, you know, the perfunctory condemnations. I don't think those nations have a particular affinity or toward Hamas. They don't like Hamas. They also see it like the West does, as a terrorist organization. On the other hand, they want this thing to end and get behind them and behind Israel. So they can move on with peace. I think right now there's a discomfort, but nobody's withdrawn ambassadors, for instance. The Egyptians don't like Hamas at all. They hate Hamas. So, you know, you do have those alliances, but I think they would like to see this end and get those pictures off of the international television screens.
Mahmoud Abbas postponing the elections again since the early part of this century. Is he a loser here? Is the PA to be sidelined after this with Hamas's assertion?
Yeah, he's a loser, I think, in one way. Certainly Hamas, it seems, has taken control of the Palestinian cause. On the other hand, you know, if Abbas can keep the West Bank out of it, you still have something of normalcy over there in the West Bank. There are 100,000 Palestinians who work in Israel legally and probably another 30,000 that work in Israel illegally, you know, so there's that aspect of stability, economy, being able to make a living. Interestingly, even though there have been some clashes in the West Bank, we haven't seen the masses come out. I think a lot of Palestinians look at Gaza, and certainly many sympathize, especially the youth. And I think others look at it and say, well, we don't want that to happen to us. But Abbas, he is looking weak in all of this. As far as canceling the elections, the reason he did it is because Hamas might have won like they did in the elections in 2007, I believe it was, and when Hamas won the election and basically later seized control of Gaza in a civil war. So just for background, you know, Hamas rules the West Bank and they seek the destruction of Israel. And the Palestinians who are more moderate, like Abbas, control the West Bank.
Robert, the U.S. is a new administration. And there was no ambassador. There were no representatives to the Palestinians. This war caught everybody unaware. Can the U.S. play catch up here? Is there a role for it going forward? We have about a minute and a half.
Yes, the U.S. has already taken steps to try and mend fences with the Palestinian Authority. They broke ties under President Trump because he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Already, the Biden administration has reached out to the Palestinian Authority. They've restored tens of millions of dollars in aid. They've been in contact throughout this crisis with the Palestinian Authority. As far as getting a peace process back on track, that will be difficult. But certainly this administration is looking to be, while they are very supportive of Israel, they also want to be more balanced and try and offer something to the Palestinians.
Robert Berger is CBS News reporting from Jerusalem. For the first time, I can say, under fire, Jerusalem, although the bulk of the rockets have been directed at Tel Aviv. This is a conflict going on between very sophisticated IDF and the extremely determined Hamas. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.